He leads the charge, as he magnanimously did for many a year, over out in eastern Suffolk County. Great stuff over at the Patchogue Medford School District. So many years leading the charge. He's doing the same thing in Port Washington, superintendent of schools. My good friend, Dr. Michael Hines, who is absolutely reveling with the fact of the New York Mets. I know it's an aberration, folks. I get it. I know. But nonetheless, they are atop the National League East. And he'll probably say a couple of things on that. You know that. But it's always good to have him on the show. Sir, how are you?
Jay, there's nothing like starting my day speaking with you and having a good laugh. Because you're right. The Mets, I couldn't be happier right now between the Jets draft and where the Mets are right now. So this is a good day for me, for sure. How are you?
I'm doing great. Anytime you could be atop the hated Phillies, and I say that for my Philly listeners. I got plenty of Philly listeners out there. I don't know how. But nonetheless, good stuff. They're playing well. We'll get into that, as well as your beloved New York Jets. But all in all, we concentrate as far as what's happening in your neck of the woods. You know, you're going to have the COVID shot approved for kids 12 to 15. Now, this will be huge, I think, at least for the schools and everything else. And that could happen as soon as tomorrow, where kids will get the shot 12 to 15. Your thoughts, sir, on that aspect as far as COVID is concerned?
Yeah, I think it's wonderful news for sure. You know, I can't speak on behalf of every school superintendent, but I think I can for most. This has been by far the most difficult year, watching our kids, you know, just have to endure, and parents as well, endure a very, very difficult situation. And the more that we have our children vaccinated, I believe we can get as close to normal as possible as quickly as we can. And we will in Port Washington try to do our part in enabling that and assisting that effort for sure.
No question. What are the teachers' thoughts regarding this? There's been a lot of back and forth across the island. You know, you've had some that say, you know what, I'm calling it a career, calling it a day. It's just not happening. I'm not getting sick. The whole thing. I've got tenure and everything else. I'm sure many have lost, including your area. But what about thoughts in play right now from some of the mentors out there?
Yeah, we've had a lot of retirement for next year, meaning by the end of this year, it's well over, I want to say 12 to 15, and not just teachers, Jay, but we're talking about paraprofessionals, we're talking about clerical, who are really the backbone of school districts. A lot of people were very scared, very nervous, and if they had the ability and to retire, they are certainly taking advantage of it. I think one thing, you know, COVID has done, it's allowed us to really take stock as far as, you know, what's really important in our life. Not that teaching and working in school system, I can't think of anything more important than that, but also just being with your family and taking stock of what you have. And, you know, I think Newsday ran a story back in February, or maybe it was March, I believe, in Mineola. It showcased Mineola, and the superintendent was on the cover, I believe. And it, you know, you're losing, and it was about teacher retirement. You're losing a lot of veteran leadership, certainly expertise. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's tough.
No question. How did you fare regarding sports in general in your district, where we know both counties, and they wanted to go even a bit further? I know Laura Currency wanted to go a little bit further as far as getting title games and everything else in play. But what about the sections that govern the sports, Mike, as far as the sports? How did that go for you? That had to be a big boost as far as especially kids who are graduating and everything else, right?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, many of us don't realize what we have until it's gone, you know, how important things are. Sports in many of our kids' lives, and listen, many of them are not going to be professional athletes, but it is part of their DNA. It's part of their experience. They miss their friends. So come, you know, this past January, once we saw our kids actually playing in sports, it was huge. So hats off to Section 8, Section 11. I couldn't imagine the pressure they were under to try to make this work And they have. And I think it's been very successful, at least for Washington. I think it's been very successful. And we're making the best of it as we can. You know, spectators, of course, that's always a question, you know, as far as what that looks like. I think we've the theme of this year is to adapt and to pivot. And so it was definitely a lot tighter with spectators in the beginning. It's a little bit looser right now. We still have protocols in place, of course. But, it, you know, it's one thing for kids to play sports. It's another thing for parents to be able to attend and to watch their children do it, especially if they're seniors in their last year. And hats off to my athletic director. She and her assistant have done an incredible job. I couldn't be more proud.
No question. All over. Dr. Michael Hines with us. Superintendent Paul Washington Schools. Potpourri around, in and around the educational system. Nobody to do it better than with Dr. Hines. So, we look at the calendar, and this is kind of getting ready for graduation and ceremonies. We know restrictions have been lessened. How does that look in your neck of the woods, sir, coming up?
Yeah, another thing that's really great news just in time. It allows us to plan a heck of a lot more as opposed to getting or receiving guidance at the last second and then making adjustments. So, yeah, for us, it's going to be live. We're going to have in-person. We're looking at two separate graduations, just because of, you know, the capacity concerns that we have. But we are trying to make it as normal as possible, a very different experience than last year. And I can't wait to see our seniors walking across the stage and to thank all of our parents and to congratulate them all. So we're it's going to be spectacular. We just need to pray for good weather. And
I know.
That's about it. You know,
I'll tell you, I'll never forget my oldest graduated. It's going to a little over 10 years now. But in essence, gorgeous sunshine in Rocky Point that day. Never forget it. And then the clouds came in and a torrential, literally clouds came in. And I think it was only because Chuck Schumer was about to speak. But that's just my opinion. But in essence, we ran into the gym and the auditorium and finished it off. Quite a scene. I always remember that. Good weather, bad weather. Always be careful of that. So with Dr. Mike Hines. Proms also coming into play, Doc, right? So in essence, what does that look like for you? I know a lot of excited about the proms, again, lessening and everything else. What are we looking at there?
Definitely. We're looking at an in-person prom. I think many school districts, you know, they have to look at the capacity concerns. But for our seniors, we call it the gamble. It's a very, very special event for our seniors and for the parents and for the committee who puts it all together. So it's going to be in-person. We'll have two sessions for the prom as well. And I know the kids can't wait. I can't wait to go as well. Not that I'm bringing a date or anything. I think my wife is going to be somewhere else. But, yeah, I can't wait to watch all our seniors dressed up and enjoy themselves. And, again, it's about trying to make things as normal as possible with the restrictions that we have. And I think we're doing an exceptional job. I have some amazing people that I work with and an incredible Board of Education.
A fun time of the year, no question. As you look back on this horrific year and everything else, and you look at remote learning, assess that process for me over the last couple of months. I mean, listen, parents have been crying a foul and everything else. Something we don't want to see ever again, remote learning. And listen, it is what it was, right? How would you assess everything involved?
Yeah, you know, I look at it in two different chapters. I look at it in last year from March until June, and then I look at what's taken place from September to where we are right now. We are at the point right now where we have all of our students in at the elementary level. We have all of our students in now at the middle school level. This week, we're bringing our juniors and seniors back full-time. Next week, our freshmen and sophomores. And with that, we'll have a lot less live streaming or remote learning. So that's, I think that's really, really good news. Kids need to be in school. They need to be with their friends. Most important, there's no substitute than live interaction with their teachers. But if I was to give, you know, listen, there are students, there were families that were medically fragile where you had to do and you had to move forward remote learning. And I think we did a really nice job at the elementary level. For most school districts, they live streamed at the secondary level, which means, you know, you have a camera in front of a teacher who's trying to teach kids who are home on a camera, teach kids who are in front of them. They are the real heroes in all of this. I don't know how teachers did what they did this year, and they did it incredibly well. They completely went from first to fifth year in a matter of days And I hope we never have to live stream again, Jay. I hope we never have to have remote learning, because it has been really difficult. And you know what it's like, right? Every time a decision is made, you have some people who are happy, you have some people who are unhappy. And that's pretty much been a theme, too, I think, this year for many superintendents.
Listen, my son's a teacher in Florida. He hated it because he just couldn't capture everybody's attention. You know, it's a natural thing, you know, on a Zoom call and everything else is tough. It really is. Hopefully a thing of the past for sure. Dr. Michael Hines with us. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes regarding the budget. What was it, about $12 billion, give or take, in funding from the recent federal stimulus packages. This budget, hopefully, will go a long way, Mike, as far as helping these school districts. You know, you're looking about academic enrichment. I look for the social, emotional support that it'll get, facilities where needs are in play here. You also have about $1.4 billion increase in foundation aid. Very important there, foundation aid. And it'll strengthen a lot for these individual districts by at least 2% this year, and hopefully put everybody back in play on track for full funding of foundation aid within the next 3 years. How do you look upon these dollars right now to be divvied out? A lot of people were surprised, very happy. Some, you know, saying, you know what, we still might pierce the cap. Give me your take.
Yeah, first and foremost, if someone asked me this question back in September, I never thought this would happen. Because, as you pointed out, there are two different revenue sources that are coming into school districts. One is that federal aid, which is incredibly important. And, you know, as you pointed out, there are certain things that it has to be applied toward, which is great. The second is the foundation aid increase. This just shows you how weak and Cuomo is for that kind of money to come through a budget that's earmarked for schools. And it's coming at the right time, because many school districts, Jay, I can tell you, spent a lot of money for costs associated with COVID. And I'll give a quick example. For us in Port Washington, we spent close to $3 million above the budget to hire extra aides, to everything that was COVID-related. We had to order more PPE equipment, these death shields. We call them death shields. I mean, you know, to make sure that our kids could all be back in school with the guidance. So much money has been spent above and beyond what the budget is. We were really nervous, most districts were about next year. So all the money that we spent to make sure this year was as possible, this money that's coming in from a foundation aid standpoint will assist us with that overage, which is great. The federal money, which is really different, which is really dedicated toward whether it's resources for the schools itself, you know, facilities are not in great shape. We are using it for summer programs for our kids. We're going to offer opportunities at all different levels for kids. We're looking to increase, as you mentioned, social emotional. We're looking at the possibility of increasing the number of social workers we have within our buildings, which is incredibly important as well. AIS instructors to help with our most neediest students who have been significantly impacted. So this is a great way for us to get back to where we were pre-COVID. And I think many school districts are just thrilled with where they are right now.
And, you know, I brought up that foundation aid, Mike, because, you know, I look at that $1.4 billion increase in that area. And, of course, it will strengthen the districts individually by at least 2% this year and put all districts, when you think about it, on track, right, for full funding of foundation aid all within a three-year period. That a goal that has been somewhat elusive far too long in the state of New York. So, you know, consistency is key regarding that, and that's something you got to keep an eye on, because that's something that has not been achieved in a while, right?
No, gosh, no. I can tell you, most school districts have a legislative task force, and I can almost, Joe Namath, guarantee you, to throw Joe Namath out there, because I have to insert a Jet, quote in there. I can almost guarantee you, for every legislative task force that his school district had, that foundation aid and the lack thereof was the number one bullet point as far as what they were pushing our legislators to reinstall, because we've been shortchanged, and I will say the collective we, at least in Suffolk and Nassau County, for years. And so to see it as fully restored as possible, again, is really a silver lining in what has been a really, really difficult year.
And, you know, I look at it also, and that's why it was very surprising to me when I looked at it and broke down the category, especially with BOCES, right? Because, you know, I look at BOCES, Mike, where you had a lot of rejection of proposals that would have consolidated or eliminated several important expense-based aids, including reimbursement for programs and services provided to kids all through BOCES. So I thought that was a big surprise there. Also, I thought a positive was the reimbursement for some of the unexpected transportation costs incurred as this pandemic stormed in last year. So those are two areas I thought that was a surprise as well. What about you?
Yeah, I'm very surprised. Boy, you really did your homework, Jay. You sound like an administrator or a Board of Education president. Usually people don't get into the weeds that much, but you're 100% right, whether it's BOCES aid, whether it's transportation aid, which is really critical because most school districts really utilize bus companies to transport their kids to and from school or to other schools if need be. So, yes, to have that as on top of the foundation aid is, again, it's something that is we're all pleasantly surprised and very thankful for. But just like, you know, Jay, before I ever go on a trip, and I haven't been on a trip in a long time, I'm not happy until I'm there, meaning if I go on vacation. We don't have the money yet, and I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but I want to wait till it's here. But before, you know, I'm 100% happy. I'm about 90% right now. So we will see.
I'm with you. And listen, I got to be on my toes when I got Hines on the line here. So, yeah, I did a little extra homework while watching the Yanks win the race last night. But, you know, are you surprised? And obviously you got the vote happening next Tuesday. You had a couple of districts already because of the Jewish holiday. They went yesterday. But are you surprised when you read this morning that five will ask voters to exceed the state limit on the amount they can raise school taxes? And again, you have to have a supermajority vote of 60%, but nonetheless, you got Wantagh, Sagapana, Islip, Three Village, Bridgeham, you got one in Nassau, Wantagh there. And you're looking to ask voters to pierce the cap, tax it. Unprecedented time. Does that surprise you in any way? Will you have at least five asking?
Yeah, you know, the number doesn't surprise me. And one thing I've learned over 25 years in education is that every community is really different, you know, as far as what their budgets look like, what their reserves look like, which is really important, and their per pupil expenditure, you know, all these different variables that come into play. And if a board over the past, let's say, 5 or 6 months they've articulated to the community the reasons why they need to pierce the cap, because this is what will happen, I'm not that surprised. But the story is really important. And well, I think we have, 126 separate school districts on Long Island. Each one has their own story, their own budget, and their own narrative and longitudinal budget planning. So I'm not surprised. I bet you if you went into if you got into the weeds as to why they're doing it, I'm sure their rationale is very clear. And I'm assuming it's very student-centered.
No question. Dr. Michael Hines with us a couple of minutes. So in essence, as far as you're concerned, in your neck of the woods, everything kind of intact. You got a lot of things going a very positive way, like you said. Hopefully things come to fruition as far as these numbers are concerned. But you are not going to experience any type of cuts, or do you have? I mean, anything? Is everything in play as far as PW is concerned?
Yeah, it is. We are fully restoring everything from clubs to, you know, all of our activities to if we had to reduce anything this year, it's fully restored. So the way we are sharing this with the community is what it looked like, what we looked like pre-COVID is what we will have programming for next year. And on top of that, you know, the important work that we're doing, Jay, we're developing a new vision. We're developing a new mission for the Port Washington School District. We have two incredible committees. So we're articulating what our plan will look like moving forward as well, as far as a strategic plan. So We're trying to align all those arrows moving in the same direction, just like the Jets are trying to do. And I am very, very confident that we will have a very successful year next year.
So, in essence, you know, you're looking – I look at everything here as kind of a cleansing, right? Because unprecedented times, remote learning, cuts, retirement. Listen, it's all there. And the fact of the matter is, you know, come the fall, it's kind of a new beginning, I look at it, for a lot of these districts. And maybe including yours, because it gives you a chance to kind of put things in perspective of how they were, how going forward. I think it'll be make more districts resilient as far as going forward without a lot of trepidation involved. Because you know what? If you survive that, you can survive anything. Is that kind of the mantra when you look at how these districts have handled this situation?
Well, you know, there's a lot of sayings about how one grows, and it is usually through storms, right? Trees root much deeper when storms come. It's the same thing, I think, for school districts, for school communities. One thing I know for a fact, at least in Port Washington, we don't want to go back to the way it was before. We want to develop something that is new and different, that is really going to accelerate our children in all different ways, whether it's academically, whether it's social, emotional, and or physically, which are all very important. I think school districts are looking at it as a reset button to get back to normal, but to really rethink what education can be. And if it's properly funded, which I think it is right now, it certainly makes it that much better and easier to do so.
All right. One more thing on the schools. I know that half of the kids across many a district talking about grades 3 to 8 opted out of taking the ELAs, the English Language Arts exams. And the numbers, you know, listen, I was reading, I think it was 52%+, 44,000 kids, almost 44,000 declined to take the exams, which wrapped up. And you and I have always spoken about, you know, Common Core slash these types of what was your take on things? Because you and I have spoken about this a million times and everything else. You know, I think they were held in April. They were held at the end of April. So the math portion of the test started about a week ago, ended Friday, I think. So in essence, that's what you get. Any surprises there when you read this stuff?
Yeah, I was hoping the opt-outs would have been higher. And I say that because, first of all, I want to – you're probably not going to believe this. I want to thank the state education department because they tried to get a waiver – from the federal government. They went to the U.S. Department of Education and said, listen, we're in a pandemic. There are so many inequities as far as instruction, the way instruction rolled out across the state. These tests will be meaningless. And unfortunately, they were denied. But I congratulate them for trying to do that. Be that as it may, they actually, when the tests rolled out, they were shorter. In a few different ways, they were different, and they actually said it's not going to count this year, not only for the 3 through 8 tests, but for the Regents exams as well, which will come next month. So they tried to do the right thing. They couldn't. I would have thought that more students would have opted out, to be honest with you, because certainly the ground was fertile to do so. But, again, we'll see what happens next year. They were meaningless. You're not even going to use the data for any of this moving forward. So, you know, I didn't like the assessment pre-pandemic. I certainly don't like them during a pandemic.
And listen, truth be told, I've always said to you, how do you gauge a student's ability to contend with other peers if they don't show? I mean, what is the barometer to be used then? And I've always known your stance on that. And I've always kind of playfully kind of went back and forth with you. But again, you know, the barometer and everything else, what about a kid's aspect to contend with others, especially as they go up that ladder of the education situation? How do they contend, sir?
Well, that's the thing. So, you know, I think there are two views to look at this. There are national norms, and we administer assessments, you know, that look at where a third grader is in your classroom to another classroom, let's say in New York, to how a student's faring in California. Most school districts use those types of assessments where their teachers do it. So if we want to look at where kids fall on the national level, we already do that. That are a lot more reliable and valid than, I believe, the state test. The second has to do with our students and the teachers as far as formative and summative assessments that they administer. Our teachers know how our kids are doing, for sure. But there are, you know, people out there who want to rank and sort schools. They want to rank and sort teachers. They want to rank and sort kids. And I get that. I don't fall into that philosophy. I fall into the philosophy of how did our student do compared to themselves the year before? Where is that growth, and what does that look like? What is the evidence of that? Because, like most people, I believe, we want to be better than we were yesterday, not comparing ourselves to others. And those are the metrics that I think are, I will say, more important, but I think, you know, for the viewers or the listeners out there, we already have things in place from an assessment standpoint that allow us to see how we're faring across the state and across the nation.
All right, good answer. We'll keep an eye on that, as well as your beloved Jets. Now, listen, truth be told, in order to have Hines on, I had to give one Mets deal and now a Jets deal. So let me say this. You got a new coach and a new quarterback. You sold out Sam Darnold, number one. Number two, Zach Wilson looks like he could start for the Port Washington Middle School. That's how young he looks, sir. Are you somewhat apprehensive about bringing in this kid from BYU? I mean, listen, he's got the know-how, the intellect, and I mean, are you confident he got a new QB and a new coach? Give me a thought.
I love the coach. I think Sala is going to be great. But like any rookie coach or any rookie superintendent, there's a huge learning curve, a big difference between being an assistant and then, you know, being the captain of the ship. I was leaning more toward Justin Fields. I actually liked him. Knowing that Sam Darnold was gone, I personally would have kept Darnold and surrounded him with a lot more talent. I do believe in Joe Douglas, though, Jay. I in Joe we trust. So, you know, he's here for a while. Let's see what he can do. And I think by the draft class, you have, Elijah Vera Tucker. I think that was a really smart move to bolster that line. I'm, you know, Elijah Moore as another slot receiver. Come on. I'm hoping they're 500. I'm hoping they're 500. But Zach Wilson does look like he could be a quarterback for our middle school team. I have to admit, that kid looks young. It's either he looks really young or I look and feel very old.
That kid is young, man. That's a young-looking kid. But you know what? He's ready for the Big Apple. We shall wait and see. And one thing about Joe Douglas, you know that every GM likes to put his own stamp on things, and I think that's what the pressure was for him. Let me pick my own. He didn't pick Sam Darnold. We know that. So it was Mike McCagnan way back in the day. But in essence, I like you. I would have kept Darnold, and I would have traded the pick and get more draft capital. That's what I would have done, because that's how you got to build your team. We wait and see. Should be an interesting season coming up, as well as the school season. Finish strong. Enjoy prom. Enjoy graduation. And we will talk to you soon, sir. Say hi to the family.
I certainly will. Always a pleasure, and I'll talk to you soon.